It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It is Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Sean Morris, Tiki Barber on this Thursday of All-Star Week. And today, July 18th, 2024, is a very, very, very special date. 20 years ago today, one of the television phenomenons that has hit in our generation took the screens. And I cannot believe it's been 20 years since Entourage debuted, Tiki. And joining us now, the great Jeremy Piven in studio. Jeremy, what's up?
How are you, man? Thank you for having me.
If that was 20 years ago today, that means that you got to be how old?
It's, you know what? Here's the thing. As you know, at a certain point, I feel like I'm a Cuban baseball player. You know, like I just got to keep lying about my age. I swear to you, I haven't said my, and I'm very vain. I haven't said my name out loud in 15 years.
Right.
I just don't do it. I don't. Because, you know, you can then start identifying. Mm-hmm. Everyone's identifying as something,
yes,
right?
Right, right.
And so I just identify as a much younger, taller, better-looking gentleman. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this. I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 40. And I said, there's nothing fresh about my face, but thank you. So, you know, black don't crack.
Right.
That's what it is. Being an African-American...
Trust me, I say that
all
the time.
Yeah, I mean, because you haven't aged either.
No, and I feel like you must be black. You got some black in you?
Well, it's funny you say that because I grew up in Evanston, uh-huh. And I was one of the only white boys on my football team. And being in the backfield like you, they looked at me and said, no more. No, we refuse to have a white boy. And so they put
me... Oh, so you became honorary.
They put me on the line. I was 175-pound offensive guard. And so what I will say about that is when you get beat up early and you, don't win and you're not, you know, MVP and you're not homecoming king and you get your ass kicked. I don't know if you.
Yeah, you're allowed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Early.
Just that one, though, not all the other ones.
Okay. Yeah. I might. You give me the green light. I'm going to go crazy. No, it's good to fail early. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know what your journey was like. Obviously, you had to be the best player in every field you walked on.
No, I wasn't. It's ups and downs. It's the same thing. I guess your path is even harder because as a athlete, you kind of just have the God-given ability to be fast or strong or big or whatever it may be, and it advantages you. But as an actor, like if you don't have, there's no real advantage other than knowing somebody. So what led to the break?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's funny you say that because I have never been a schmoozer in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning later in life, like, oh my God.
Right.
You know, because I always thought it was enough to show up, be overprepared, try to, you know, overachieve and do your thing and leave it all out there. And that'll be enough.
Yeah, the
cliches. And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, here I am. I have a movie that's going to be released later this year that I've been working on for 14 years, the best work of my life.
Wow.
It's called The Performance, and I play a tap dancer in Brooklyn who is not getting any younger, and he gets the opportunity of a lifetime, and he has to hide the fact that he's Jewish and dance for Hitler. So
oh, wow.
It is heavy.
Wow.
And, you know, every year that, you know, I couldn't find the money, I just kept tap dancing and getting better. So by the time we filmed it, I was ready.
Right.
And so that, here I am, you know, at this, that's the great thing about acting is I, you know, can be, here I am, whatever, 40 years into the game.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting better. Whereas athletes, you know, you
There's
retire.
An expiration time.
You retire in the prime of your life, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. 14 years?
Yeah.
Do you tap dance, actually?
I do now because they kept saying no. And no one would give me the money. Because I would pitch the movie and they'd go, yeah, check, please. Right. We're getting out of here.
No, that is heavy. Yeah. That is heavy. Now, going through your whole career as you have, I always come back to one of the first roles you were in as one of my favorite. You played almost like an Inception version of George Costanza in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
1993.
Yeah.
What is that like for you on the, you know, basically the set of one of the hit shows at the time, and you're a young up-and-coming actor, and you get kind of this unique role, and you smashed it out of the park in that episode?
Well, thank you, you know, but here's what's crazy, and this is blasphemous, and every Seinfeld viewer out there is going to hunt me down to kill me.
Oh, no.
I not only had I never seen the show.
Wow.
But I didn't have a TV. I was a regular on a show called The Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah, of course.
And I was walking across the lot, and Mark Hirschfeld, who cast Seinfeld, said, would you audition to play George? And I'm such a hungry...
Just because you looked great?
Just because their job, and bless them, their job is just to find everyone and anyone. They want you to be the guy.
Got it.
And by the way, that's for a tip out there for anyone auditioning. They want you to be the guy. So don't be desperate. Just be calm and cool and crush it, and then they want you to be the guy. So he thought, so I had worked with Jason Alexander. I'd never seen the show. So I went in there and just kind of did my best version of Jason, and they were like, you must be a huge fan of the show.
That's unbelievable.
And I said, yes, I am.
Of course.
And I'd never seen it. But it was better because the reality is I was on set with them, and I didn't know who they were, and they're the Beatles. So it was really cool, and I think that they took to me because I wasn't on their jock. I was just like...
You weren't fanboying out.
No, I was like, let's have a great time. You know, every one of them was a killer, and they were crushing it, and they were peaking, and I got to be a little part of history.
Now, when you think back to Entourage and when it first started, obviously Ari Gold here sitting next to us, that show, it captured something in people, and they still can't stop talking about it. Right, you get people talking about the moments and the interactions. Oh, what was that? Because you don't find it often, especially not in like guy shows. You find it in like the girl shows, and you know what I mean. But the guy shows, it's hard to find that.
It is hard to find it, and it's interesting when I talk to people and I ask them what they're watching. People get this weird look on their face. They're searching for something. You know, how many times have you gone on Netflix and you're just like, you just keep scrolling, hit Hulu, Amazon, you just keep
going.
I guess
I'll watch another Star Wars spinoff.
There are nights I don't watch anything but trailers by the time I'm done.
Or, you know, what I'm getting is 20-year-old guys coming up to me going, I binged all of it during the pandemic. So I've got this whole new set of fans, and the people that don't know that are HBO. And they don't realize that not only have our fans not gone anywhere, but we have this whole new set of fans. And because I refuse to age, we could just pick up exactly where we left off.
I see what you're doing. You're lobbying for it to come back.
Well,
I see.
Listen, the reality is I've never stopped. And as I told you, with the performance is the best work of my life. And I'm doing stand-up comedy. Watch this transition tomorrow night at Rodney's.
Where is it? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night at Rodney's. You can go to rodneyscomedy.com for tickets, 7:30 and 9:30 show. And the thing about me is like when I was playing Ari Gold, Doug Ellen did a brilliant job writing it, and he wanted me to go word for word, and I did. And then I would always try to kind of, because I come from Second City in Chicago, an improv group. I started with Chris Farley. That's how old I am.
Wow.
In the 90s. So I'm always trying to get my stuff in. Finally, I went, what am I doing? Why don't I just get up there? Because I've always wanted to do it. You got to test yourself. You know, you can wonder what it's like, or you can throw yourself in, and you have to be willing to fail and to be humiliated publicly. Yeah. You have to be able to walk through that. And once you get past that, you're like, okay, I can do this. But I found out very fast that I need to do 5 to 8 shows a week, you know, a couple hundred shows a year to get good.
Wow, that is great. Now,
easily.
With Entourage, obviously the beauty of it is you guys represented what every guy group with their friends are, but they wanted to be that. And that's exactly what the show was about. But the idea of HBO Sunday night 20 years ago is still really the heyday. We're talking Sopranos after that and everything. Those shows seemingly are always massive hits. Did you know basically right off the bat that it was going to be a massive hit?
Well, this is what I knew, and I'm not being Monday morning quarterback, but I did know that Sex and the City, that we, you know, we're incredible company. So you had The Sopranos. And because...
Before that, The Wire.
Yeah, and because it was a show, and actually, Larry Sanders, the show I did, kicked off original programming a million years ago. So we were in great company, and I knew that people are fascinated to this day with the backstage life of Hollywood. So I just knew, and I knew that this was based on Wahlberg's life, and Wahlberg has a very colorful... He's a group of friends, right? Yeah, there is a drama turtle, E-R-E. There's right. every one of them. And so we could get very authentic and specific with this world. And I just thought, you know, we have a real shot, you know, because Sopranos was so good. Sex and the City was just crushing it. I was like, because you had the freedom with language and other shows didn't, I was like, we could do it. And I knew that Ari Emanuel, that he had all these dualities where you thought he was a pig, but he was really monogamous with his wife. He's an equal opportunity offender. But you know what I mean? So like, I was like, wait a minute, you know, if I do this right, we could be on to something.
You're speaking Tommy's language behind the glass right there. He's like, that's my guy. Look, he even got the beard. You look like him.
Yeah, Tommy's all about it.
Are you still like tight and in touch with these guys? Because I think in our minds, we feel like they got to still be tight. They still hang up.
You know, it's so funny. I have this, like, you know, everyone's got like a space where they just kind of keep all their stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was grabbing my stuff out of there, like a storage space. I kid you not. I was like, oh, what is this? And it was an Entourage framed poster. And I go, you know what? I'm going to take this. And I was putting it in my car. And I hear, hi, Jeremy. And I turn around, and it's Rex Lee who played Lloyd.
Get out.
And it's like Rex had walked up as I'm just holding randomly. So it just looked like I was just wandering around.
So he thinks you're like a loser. Freak or something?
Yeah, he just thought I was wandering around with a poster of Entourage, just like reminiscing by myself.
You kind of were.
I kind of was, yes. And here I am lobbying for the show to come back. Rex is, and I've had him on my podcast, is amazing. And the reality is we spend a lot of time together. And, you know, we kind of know each other. We've seen each other a little bit over the years. Yep. I'm just a stage actor from Chicago. I went to NYU.
Mm-hmm.
And Ari Gold is an amazing character.
Yeah.
And, you know, people come up to me and, you know, they say, bro, I'm a douchebag because of you, bro. You know? And I'm like, oh, thank you so much, sir.
What do I say to
that? Yeah, you know, and I unpack this on stage, and I talk about the fact that people, you know, become agents, and they've named their dog Ari Gold, and, you know, and so they get a little confused, and there's a compliment there that they, you know, don't know that I'm a stage actor, and I've done 80 movies, and I've done all this, and so they kind of assume that I am that character, and I used to be offended, and then I realized, no, this is just, you know, it's just, I've connected with them.
It's also a credit to pulling off a character like that. Now, one of my, as we get off Entourage for a second, I brought up Seinfeld. One of my favorite movies of all time is Old School, and your character, Pritchard, in that is unbelievably hysterical. It's such a good role, and it always dawned on me when I watch a movie like that. Now, you're a stand-up comedian, too, and to be able to go... How hard is it to not break character when you guys are ripping off lines and you're in a cast with Luke Wilson and Will Ferrell? I mean, to me, I don't think I'd be able to get through two lines without laughing reading the script and the characters you guys played.
Well, listen, when I read that script, I'm not just saying this. I was like, how do I get in this film? And I immediately went to Todd Phillips, who's gone on to direct Joker and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, this is incredible, man. Is there anything left in this? And he goes, there's nothing left. I go, really? He goes, well, there's a dean, but he's a nerd, and you know, you couldn't play him. I go, why not? He goes, look at you. You look like you're Vince's best friend. You can't play the nerdy dean. I said, give me a shot. So I went out and found some, you know, big wire glasses and a sweater vest, and I did a comb over on my hair, and I just played this very awkward dean. And I almost blew, I've never told anyone this, but I've almost blew the role. I almost blew it because I did a take and Todd goes, that was good. And I go, what did you expect? He goes, what'd you say? I said, I'd like to go again. You know, because like, you don't want to be the cocky guy. What'd you expect,
right,
bro?
Right, right, right.
I'm an actor, dude. No, so I got the role and that's what you do. You play different roles.
I can't even imagine somebody else playing that role other than you and Pritchard. Like, it was the most perfect nerdy.
And it's funny you say that because he looked at me and goes, there's no way you can play this nerdy guy.
Wow.
I played the gay Versace salesman. I basically played Lloyd in Rush Hour.
Right.
So as an actor, that's what you do. You play different characters.
Now, is it... it almost feels like these things happen because it was intentional. But what it sounds like is that sometimes these best moments, these best roles, these best shows, 8 seasons of Entourage, it's almost accidental, right? It's like the right place, right time. Like, how much of what of success is your success and some of these shows' success and role success and character success so much that you get defined by it instead of who you actually are? How much of it is just luck?
I never had luck. It's interesting. And you know why? That's why technically on paper I was a late bloomer. But luck is a huge variable. And you know, like Shakespeare says, the readiness is all. Mm-hmm. So if you're ready and you just have endurance, I mean, think about it. I broke through at 37. So that's when, if you're lucky as a pro athlete, you're retiring.
Right.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
So
right.
I started at 8 on stage, and after 30 years, I broke through. So if you're willing to just grind and just not be stopped, you're going to break through. But a lot of people just can't stand the rejection.
Why did you stay with it?
Just because I love it, and I just knew, okay, I love it. You know, in college, when you're getting roles and you're a freshman and, you know, you're getting the lead in the Shakespeare play and you're ready and I've done it my whole life and I know that I had something to contribute and I love doing it. I just knew I just need to get my number called.
Yeah.
You know, and also, like I said about football, like, I love football. I had genuine skills, totally undersized. Mm-hmm. There are no Jewish linebackers in the history of football, right?
Couple linemen. I played with a couple of linemen.
There you go. But so when you taste, like, you know, defeat early and you're like, yeah, that's not right for me. I don't want to live a life like this. Like, I'm good at this. And you just stay focused. You're like, I'm going to break through. I just got to stay with it.
As you mentioned, tomorrow night, you could see him. RodneyComedy.com shows at 7:30 and 9:30. What is the more difficult job for you? Planning for stand-up comedy and doing that, or acting?
It's a great question. You know, the reality is, like, last night I got up and it's still terrifying because I'm trying some Trump stuff.
Okay.
You know, and it's so fresh.
Well, that you're walking on a very thin piece of paper right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's like,
what can I get away with?
And by the way, also, what's happening right now is so surreal.
And it's
like, how are you going to beat what's actually happening? So you've got to take a different tact.
That's a good point.
Amazing way to put it, but yes.
You know what I mean? You can't. If someone wrote this and said, "Hey, okay, here's the deal," they're going to take him down. He's going to, you know, get a mugshot, and then he's going to be a folk hero, and then that's going to be merch, and then they're going to beat it. You know what I mean? Like, it just keeps getting crazier and crazier. Great. So, it is nerve wracking, but I have to say, like, when you do break through and you get that laugh and you get a new bit, it's really thrilling.
Do you have to change your bits depending on the city you're in based on, like, the demographic and political backgrounds? You pivot that?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell the audience right away. I had a rule in my house. My mom always said, you can say whatever you want as long as it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, and that was really empowering as a kid. I was like, okay, but it's got to be funny. You know what I mean?
And was she the judge of that?
Right.
They're either laughing or they're not.
Right. So. There had to be lots of times where you weren't, though.
Oh, yeah. Believe me.
I'm not talking about at home. I'm talking about on stage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, bombing is terrifying, and the feeling is just humiliating. And so most human beings just can't. No one wants to do that. It's humiliating, and your whole body's going, get off stage, get off stage. And if you can somehow work through that and dig your way out, then the next time you get up, you go, oh, well, I've been through much worse.
Right.
So I'm okay. I'm a little more confident. I've been through, you know, when I started, I would go to this dive bar, and there'd be like 3 people there to see the DJ, and they're all on their phones, mm-hmm. and no one's even looking up. And you're like, hey, are you Googling me to see if I'm funny? I'm right here. And they're like, yeah, uh-huh. And they're right back down. And then you're like, hey, man, you guys are probably wondering what I'm doing here. And then some dude in the back's like, yeah, man, what are you doing here? And you're like, oh, my God, it's hostile. It's a hostile crowd. Okay, they want to kill me. And, like, I've seen it all, man. I've seen it all, you know? So, you know, you have to walk through all that. And then on the other side of it is people coming out to see you because they know my stuff. And then they're happy to see you when you make them laugh. And we need to laugh more than ever right now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why, you know, AI can do anything except comedy.
By the way, are you scared of that? Of AI in Hollywood? Because you're starting to hear a little bit more about your voices, et cetera.
Yeah, man. Here's what we're seeing in real time. Like, you'll see, like, an image of Morgan Freeman. And then all of a sudden you'll hear him talking. You're like, oh, well, what's this Morgan Freeman piece? And then, he's doing some motivational speech. And then you're like, wait, that's not Morgan Freeman. So they've got you with the image, and AI is doing his voice. Now, Morgan Freeman makes a living doing voiceovers. You know what I mean? So, like, and that's how, we all make a living. So I don't know what's next. I mean, it's like, we have to, no matter what, you have to pivot. You know, it's like I was saying, AI can't do comedy.
No.
Because you have to have a human experience.
Right. Yeah. You can't think correctly.
Right.
It's not actually thinking. It's just Googling really fast.
Right. And it's taking all that information and assimilating it at the speed of light, which is amazing. But that's what's great about comedy. I'm telling you guys, from my point of view, what it's like to live this life. And if you identify with it and it's like, oh my God, then we have a shared laugh.
Right.
And AI can't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to keep grinding.
Yeah.
You mentioned all the things that you've done, and being on stage is one. But the other kind of being on stage, how much stage acting did you do or have you done?
I
only asked this because I was in Kinky Boots for 7 weeks. And it was it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done.
Oh, really?
It was amazing.
Eight shows a week.
Yeah. It was a grind because it was in the winter. And so they're trying to get locals as opposed to tourists.
Right.
And so it was a grind. Wednesday was the off day. It wasn't Sunday.
And you're making $11 a week.
Exactly.
And you're like, wait a minute.
And I'm still doing the show. So it was like, I loved it.
Okay.
And so stage acting, have you done it?
I've done it since I was 8 years old. I got up on stage I've done stage my whole life, without stopping. The only plan that I had was I knew that if I went out to Hollywood looking for a job, I'd get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, I would be distracted or whatever. So I stayed on stage until they called my number got called, and then, once I, started doing TV and all that kind of stuff. But I was doing stage up until, the moment I started doing film and TV and keep going back to it. And someone said to me, doing stand-up will make you a better actor. And I thought, what? That doesn't really make any sense. And they were absolutely right. Because the reality is, the way I do stand-up, I'm performing. I'm a stage actor. So I'm getting up there and I'm using the whole space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing impressions. I've been doing, I've been co-hosting with Tyson on Hot Boxing. So I've got like Tyson stories that are insane. And
sure.
So you have to, what I mean? And so, I'm using the whole stage and I'm having a blast. And then when I went back to film, I was like, oh wow, I have no rust on me because I've never stopped performing. And I thought, okay, there are two different lanes. One doesn't inform the other, and they do.
Jeremy Piven, our guest, 20 years ago today, the release of Entourage. You did hint a couple times in this interview how much you would love for Entourage to come back. Have you had any substantial discussions with anybody on the show or anything involving this, or is this just more of a dream of yours?
Well, it's funny. It's a dream of everyone I come into contact with.
Right.
I'm on stage and people are like, Lloyd, what I mean? Let's hug it out, bitch. And I'm like, I do.
That was okay too.
Okay. Do you have Tourette's, sir? Are you okay? What's going on? So I'm just telling you. I mean, HBO or Max or any of these people, they don't see what I see because I see people who would miss it. They're still connected with it. They're still watching it. It's still relevant. And what's funny is people are like, how would they navigate this culture? And the reality is it would be even better because having Ari navigate this culture, having Lloyd maybe be his politically correct consultant,
right, yeah.
I mean, it could be really fun.
Right now, it's really complicated. You're in danger of getting canceled now, and that's your job. Like, let's paper this. What would you guys be doing right now?
Well, imagine, Lloyd would be like, so Ari, you have to like use the right pronouns. He's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? He goes, you're not a friend to the gay man. I am a friend to the gay man. You know, and then he would probably say, you know, well, you know what your pronouns are? Your pronouns are has and been. You're a has been. You know what I mean? And then maybe he would get canceled, and then they would have to go find him and get him, you know, pull him out of the hole. I mean, it would be funny to see him last like 2 minutes,
right,
and then go have to pull him out.
And it's not unprecedented. I mean, look, Dexter came back. They had a season after that. I mean,
everyone's come back.
Yeah, and or they're
Saved by the Bell.
Right, exactly. There was a Fresh Prince, right? I mean, so. Full House, everything is up there. Yeah, I think I'm on board. Entourage needs to come back. Let's start the movement, Jeremy.
Yeah, but I mean, also, there's so many different ways to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you never made it onto the show. I mean, there were so many guys who were, we got a late-breaking something coming out.
No, it's just the reads. Tommy brings them in late. Okay,
I love it.
So loud, though, right?
I mean, you're mini-me, Tommy.
But, I mean, there are... You know, so many different ways to do the show. There could be athletes,
right?
You know, I mean, I remember just even with, I was sitting there with Tyson, and we were interviewing Mike Tyson, and we were interviewing Saquon Barkley on his podcast. I don't know if you guys ever saw this. You might want to Google this.
Go
it's
ahead.
The most surreal thing you've ever seen in your life, where Mike just goes,
because he has a boxing background, Saquon, because his uncle,
yes,
right, was a boxer,
yes, and apparently. There's a situation between his uncle and Mike and it was
wow.
Unbelievable. Mike just starts taking handfuls of mushrooms and eating them. and then Saquon looks at me and he, I swear to God, he goes, is this normal? What's going on? And I go, yeah, man, it's okay. So it's going to be, everything's going to be all right. And Mike just like threw me. You know, he's just, what? I swear to you. And then he goes, and then Saquon, you know, Mike's like, you know, what are you up to these days? What's going on? He's like, you know, I'm just coming back off this injury. He goes, no, I mean, what's happening? Like, who do you love right now? Is there someone in your life? He's like, what do you mean? He goes, you know, I mean, you know, do you have children? He goes, yeah, I have children. He goes, do you love, you know, baby's mama? Do you love her? He goes, look in the camera and tell him how much you love her. And Saquon's like, what's going on right now? And Mike is peeking on mushrooms. And Saquon and I just, you know, I became the adult in the room, and I just walked him through. And by the way, it ended up being an amazing interview.
Right.
And Saquon's amazing.
Of course. He's great.
He's an amazing kid.
Except he's an Eagle now. That's the only problem.
Well, I don't know. Saquon doesn't like Tiki anymore. Tiki said he was dead to him, man, when he signed with the Eagles.
Right.
The whole thing.
He's an Eagle. He's with the Eagles.
I don't know the politics behind all that. I don't know why you don't throw money at that guy. You know why you don't throw
boy. No, you want to take calls from these callers for the next 2 hours?
Right. Okay.
You don't want that, believe me, Jeremy. You think stand-up's hard.
Right.
You don't want to hear from Giant fans on Saquon.
Okay. All right. Touchy subject.
Saquon's one of the greatest dudes in the league. He's just an Eagle.
He's an Eagle.
Yeah.
Try that material tomorrow, rodneycomedy.com, where you can get your tickets. 7:30 and 9:30 tomorrow night. 20-year anniversary of Entourage. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you guys for having me. Listen, come on out if you can. I'll get you guys. People just say, you know, what's the name of the show, by the way?
Evan and Tiki. Even though that's not Evan.
Yeah, it's not Evan.
Okay.
Evan's in Mexico.
So Sean's here.
All right. Well, Evan and Tiki, you get a free meet and greet. Let's go, kid.
I love it. That's Jeremy Piven. Cheese at Rodney's. Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Hello, SNY as well. Sean Morris, Tiki Barber here. Nice to have Jeremy Piven stop by. A couple comedy shows for him tomorrow night here in the city. Yesterday, Tiki... SNY dropped a little nuggy on us.
Mm-hmm.
We love SNY. They dropped a top 10 New York athletes right now list. And at first glance, I went over this list and they gave parameters. Aaron Rodgers didn't play enough to qualify. Yep. Gerrit Cole was hurt. All right, they gave it fine. We deal with it. And it's so perfect on a week like this, you know, list. And I went over this and my only issue was Brandon Nimmo at 7. Boy, did I get, when I popped at the Citi Field yesterday, anybody who ran into me kept bringing up this list, including, I'm not going to name names.
Like it was yours. Like right. It was your list.
Right. I'm not going to name names. Joe DiMeo, people from SNY putting their hands up going, just so you know, I wasn't a part of this list. I had no say in the list.
So if Joe didn't do it, who did it?
Nobody at SNY has come forward to tell me who collaborated on said list.
Oh.
But maybe nobody wants their fingerprints. Maybe this is just a big, hey, nobody take responsibility. Big mystery. But anyway, you might be saying, well, Sean, what the heck was the list? Here is the list before I tell you my problem. 10, Dexter Lawrence. 9, Sabrina Ionescu. 8, Artemi Panarin. 7, Brandon Nimmo. 6, Sauce Gardner. 5, Igor Shesterkin. 4, Francisco Lindor. 3, Juan Soto. 2, Aaron Judge. And 1, Jalen Brunson. Now, Tiki, yesterday, I told you why I didn't really have an issue where Shesterkin was, right. Why Brunson was one. The more I thought about this list, the more I am mad at myself why? That I wasn't stronger in an opinion on this yesterday.
Well, who should be one? Judge?
Yeah. Jalen Brunson, with all due respect, has no business being number one yet over Aaron Judge. Now, we can make all the Kings of New York stuff, and this is taking nothing away from what Brunson has done contract-wise, what Brunson did in bringing the Knicks back. But Aaron Judge, just think about this. We're about to embark on a second half. We're kind of laying low on baseball season, where Aaron Judge could have two seasons of 60 or more home runs in 3 years. In a season where, let's face it, we all have our doubts right now. Maybe the Yankees do make a run to the World Series.
Yeah, and if they're going to, it's going to be because Aaron Judge is going to hit 60-plus home runs.
Aaron Judge has been the best player on a Yankee team multiple times that has at least been to an ALCS, the baseball version of an Eastern Conference final, let's call it in the NBA. Something Brunson has yet to do.
Yeah, it's only been a couple years, though, for Brunson. That's why.
I agree.
But keep going.
The top 10 athletes right now. How does Jalen Brunson beat Aaron Judge?
So I think there's a couple of ways to look at top athletes. So one is obviously just how successful they've been and the success that they brought the team. I think the other side, and this is where Johnson, I think, has an edge, is how does he make you feel as a fan? There is no doubt that Jalen Brunson has been the most exciting athlete this last, I don't want to say the last couple of seasons, but just say this last judging period.
In New York sports. More than Aaron Judge?
I'm just talking the most exciting. How did he make you feel watching him play? Ooh. How many times were you jumping out of your seat? It was consistent. It was like almost every single night of the postseason, Jalen Brunson had you feel in a certain way. And this is not Aaron Judge's fault. It's just the nature of his sport.
That's what I was going to say. You almost have to grade on a curve with that.
Exactly.
Statement.
So it's the nature of the sport. And so we look at Aaron Judge. I don't think, honestly, we appreciate him enough. We don't appreciate that he's got 33 home runs. 34?
We don't.
34 home runs at the break, right? That he's hitting over 300.
Those 99
jerseys. That he's leading the league in RBIs. Yep. That he's amazing.
Right. In theory, a triple crown contender. We don't appreciate him because the nature of the Yankee fan base leans negative.
Well, it's not only that, but I just think we're so used to it. And so it's like, Aaron Judge hit a home run. Of course, he's supposed to hit a run. We count on him to hit home runs. Good job. Right, whereas Jalen Brunson goes and scores 40, you're jumping out of your seat like, oh my God, Brunson was amazing. Did you see that? Right. And so I think it's just he makes you feel a different kind of excitement. Judge has it there, but it feels like this is just routine. This is what he's supposed to do.
So because you're right, the energy of basketball is a little different in those big moments than baseball. So I take a step back, bird's eye view. And I think it's the easiest way to tell you that this list is a sham.
Well, first of all, we got to have somebody who's...
Can somebody from SNY step up and tell me?
We're taking a shot at.
All right, I'll name names. Joe DiMeo is putting his hands up. He says he has nothing to do with it. Tiki, you can have the debate, if not a slam dunk. Best player in baseball, people will debate Ohtani versus Judge. With all due respect to Jalen Brunson, he's not the best player in the NBA.
But I don't think it's that.
Well, but if you're telling me the top 10 New York athletes right now, and one could potentially be the best player in the sport, the other is a very good top 10 player in the sport, is not the best player in the sport, how do I not go with the guy who's possibly the best player in the sport at number one?
That's association ranking. That's hard.
But that balances out your point about the sport.
It does, but it's still, I mean...
I think I have you.
You do, but it's also, you don't have me on how I think this is being judged by whoever did this, because I don't know who it is.
So your point is more an explanation of why you think they lean that way.
It's why Jalen Brunson is sitting at number one. It's because for the 4 months or 3 months at the end of the season, he made you feel like, I can't tell you how high you felt as a Knicks fan. We all know this. I'm barely a Knicks fan, and I felt the same way. You know what I mean?
So no doubt about it. Well, we worked out of Philly together.
Right, exactly. No, I became a Knicks fan in Philly because of faux cheeks. But, I mean, think about how ridiculously engaged Tommy was. Like, I know Tommy's a Knicks fan, but not like that.
No.
And that's how all Knicks fans were.
Before you get into it, Tom, I will say this declaratively. You can praise Jalen Brunson without it being a slight at Aaron Judge. Putting him over Aaron Judge is a slight at Aaron Judge. So possibly the best player in his sport. He's the best player in New York right now.
So, to me, it's twofold with JB. We'll start with this one first. You go down the list, Dexter Lawrence, Jet fans will get mad. Igor, Islander fans will get mad. Juan Soto, Met fans will get mad. Then you get to number one, and it's a Knick. There are no Net fans. The Knicks unite this city. If you are a great player on the Knicks, you run things around here because we are all Knicks fans. There are no Net fans. Oh, are there any calling in? No. Let me hear. Nope, no Net fans.
But there's a lot of non-basketball fans.
Okay, so that's my next point. Jalen Brunson, superstar, megastar, took the Knicks from the bowels, from the depths of hell, and brought them up to where they are now the most competent franchise in New York sports. And with the power of friendship, the Knicks are going to do damage. That's why he's number one. Aaron Judge, as great as he is, you want to go down the list now? And I know there was a lot of great Knicks, but my point is, in modern era, Aaron Judge is one of Jeter and Bernie and Posada. I'm not saying that he's obviously better than Posada, but you get my point. The Knicks were horrible for years, and Brunson got them out of that, where we're talking Knicks championship.
I don't deny any of that. And that's why I would keep both at one and two, and that's not even including Juan Soto.
You would just flop them.
I would flop him. And look, another easy-to-answer question, and Tommy's not going to like this. If you had to bet your house, if you had to responsibly bet your house mortgage, Tiki Barber, who's most likely to win a championship in this town first, Aaron Judge or Jalen Brunson?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one.
You have to pick one. I'm taking Judge. But it also could be done this October before we see what Jalen Brunson on the Knicks.
That's the only reason I would say the Yankees, because I think it could happen. But a lot's got to happen for them before I truly believe that.
Jalen Brunson is the best player on a team that many would say is the third best in the division.
Before
right
I give the answer, the hard thing to evaluate this is I don't know where the Knicks are relative to the rest of the NBA.
You got to see it shape up next year.
Well, no, because I know how good they were. But they were so physically beat up and compromised. I don't have a true understanding of what the Knicks look like next to the Boston Celtics. You know what I mean?
No, okay.
Right? Or
we can project, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, we can project, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it fully healthy. Whereas I've seen this Yankee team fully healthy, and look, they're great, but they're still flawed.
Yeah.
So it's just, who's first? I'm going to say the Yankees, simply because the Yankees, I believe, being a truly all-in season, will do something at the deadline to make themselves better and less top-heavy with their lineup, or maybe even help them back into the bullpen. But I still feel like I don't know the Knicks well enough, fully healthy, to truly evaluate this question, whereas I know the Yankees fully healthy to evaluate this question.
One other reason why he's number one, you can go down that entire list. They have all been criticized. Judge, Soto, everybody. Igor, JB hasn't yet. Now, there may come a day where you hear it on this station where Jalen Brunson couldn't get it done in a big spot, but
good
so
point.
Far, he's Teflon.
Point.
He has 100% approval rating.
That's an excellent point, no doubt about it, and that speaks to what Tiki was talking about, with maybe a little fatigue from Aaron Judge constantly just taking him for granted.
Yeah, you take for granted that he's leading the league in home runs, RBIs, and he's hitting over 300.
Which is another fair question we could bring up in July about Jalen Brunson. At what point of not going to Eastern Conference Finals, does he ever get criticized? Because everybody...
I think it's now there.
Yeah?
I think it's
they
there.
Don't make the Eastern Conference Final this year. You think Brunson starts to take a little criticism?
I think he'll start to take a little criticism. Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Somebody does. And whether
it's almost unfair that Judge gets criticized for.
Yeah, because it's not all him.
Not all him. And I know he hasn't had some great postseasons.
But the problem is he hasn't been good in those moments.
You know how we are as a society. We bring you up, and then we like to tear you down to see you rise up again. So he's now at the top. Whether he wins a championship or not, then we'll start to drag him down. You'll hear it. I won't, but other people will.
Now, despite debating 1 and 2, and again, this is SMY's top 10 New York athletes right now list. Jalen Brunson 1, Aaron Judge 2, Juan Soto 3. Here's the other issue. I made an opinion on Igor Shesterkin yesterday, which I stand by. I don't think the Rangers should go crazy in salary-wise for him. More people talk to me about that list. SMY, great job with this list, by the way. Big debate. Igor Shesterkin, I should have stepped up as a Ranger fan last night. He is a better New York athlete right now than Francisco Lindor at 4. We just talked about Igor Shesterkin being the best goalie on the planet, almost carrying the Rangers.
No, you're probably right.
Lindor could be really good and probably underappreciated in this town. Lindor is not a better athlete on the Mets than Igor Shesterkin is on the Rangers sport
to
sport.
Well, I'm trying to, but part of this also is Francisco Lindor disrespect. Part of this is Francisco Lindor not making all-star teams.
Yeah.
Part of this is Francisco Lindor having this narrative that he's not good when he actually is damn good. He's great for what he does. Defensively, obviously, consistently, and even offensively since he moved into the leadoff spot this year. But he's always this. Every year he's 270. He's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to, a ton of RBIs, 100 RBIs. That's just who he is. And we take it for granted because we think he stinks.
All right. You have this one scenario, Tiki Barber. I gave
and
you
it's, but by the way, and also, this is why it's impossible to have this comparison.
Of course.
Because Francisco Lindor he's an important piece of a team, whereas Igor, it could be the most important piece of a team.
Well, this is why.
Because if he has an off day, guess what? They lose.
This is why I was going to ask you. Let's just say that we consider both rosters these players are on championship true contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final and a Game 7 of a World Series, but you can only have one of these two options. Francisco Lindor at shortstop is your leadoff hitter, or Henrik Lundqvist in net. I'm sorry, Igor Shesterkin in net. Bad job by me.
Yes.
Who you take?
Freudian.
Who would you rather have in that scenario?
Probably Igor.
Thank you. He's better than Lindor.
But this is textbook Marash.
Only because of the importance of the position. Yeah. that's why it's hard.
Well, then he should. So if we're going to use that for Brunson and Judge, you got to apply it to Shesterkin.
Yeah, and I am.
Lindor.
So that's why I said. I said Igor.
Then keep applying it. Because you went to Lindor because you hate the Mets. Go to your boy. Yeah, that's at number 3.
Who's Soto?
Yeah. So Igor should be ahead of Soto.
If we're gonna be really real here, I don't even want to have this fight because it's undermining Aaron Judge. Juan Soto actually is the best player in New York right now. I mean, because he's, again, maybe...
He hasn't done it enough here.
Exactly. If we're being real. And I hate the notion that I hate the Mets. When have I ever given an indication that I hate the Mets? That's not true. I laugh at the Mets.
So why did you go to Lindor and not go to Soto? Would you rather have Igor between the pipes, Game 7, or Juan Soto taking 3 walks in a game and not impacting it and being a butcher in right field? Well, we could be
not
mean
a
back.
Butcher.
He stinks in the outfield.
You want the real list? The real list is Soto, Judge, Igor, Brunson, probably Panarin.
Oh, God. You had two Rangers in the top 5.
I mean, I could give you Adam Fox.
Wandell Robinson's going to get on there, too.
No, and at some point next year, Malik Nabers will be on this list.
I hope so.
888-808-1019. Liam on Long Island. Liam, what's up?
So here's where I agree with Loogie here, where Jalen Brunson is by far the number one, because you take Aaron Judge, who's been there 4 or 5 years, and he's changed nothing. They've actually gotten worse since he's been there. I'm a Mets fan, but
worse.
Jalen Brunson.
They're one of the best teams in baseball.
I know. They just haven't won.
But they consistently lose in the playoffs, where you have a guy like Jalen Brunson who took the Knicks from a terrible team to now a title contender in 2 years.
I mean, could we get to an Eastern Conference final first before we say that Jalen Brunson's taking the Knicks to a title contender?
I think he's got to at least do that. He's got to at least play in one.
I mean, just one. I know that it wasn't all his fault, the injuries and everything, but can we see that first? We're criticizing Aaron Judge for failing when he got close to the mountaintop. We haven't even seen Brunson get there yet.
So the challenge with these kind of lists is that it entails a certain degree of projection. like what we think is going to happen going forward in the immediate future. And in the immediate future, if you think Aaron Judge is going to lead this Yankee squad to the ALCS in the World Series, then you're going to be biased towards him.
Right.
If you think that Jalen Brunson, which I don't know, which I will come out and say, I don't know what they look like fully healthy, but a fully healthy Knicks team with now Mikal Bridges and everything else that happened last year, the same kind of coaching, can they be an Eastern Conference final team? I would think so. And if they're not, then Jalen Brunson's got to come down on the list.
Perhaps the strongest argument that Loogie didn't make for Jalen Brunson and you didn't make is the fact that he got put at number one and made everybody forget Aaron Rodgers wasn't on the list and the reason they omitted him. Because think about how badly Jet fans love Aaron Rodgers. That just shows you the love for Jalen Brunson in this town. David in the Bronx. David, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. I just think it's a little ridiculous how Loogie kind of constantly rips the Nets fans when he knows there, obviously, there are Nets fans out there. I don't know of why course. He got to sit.
Yeah.
I think your station backs the Nets. You guys, like, don't you guys put on the Nets? So
David,
I don't know why he's constantly ripping.
David, me
fans.
And Evan work on the show and we're Net fans. Keith's a Net fan. Yes, we know they're
there's
Net fans.
There's a lot of Net fans. They sell out all the time. It's always a packed house.
He sounds unhinged. You know, let's be honest.
He is unhinged.
The Nets have had recent Hall of Famers. They had Jason Kidd years ago. The Knicks have not done well recently. Yes, they're stacked. This guy, you know, he sounds like...
David, you did have Hall of Famers. How'd that go with KD and Harden and Kyrie? How'd that go with those Hall of Famers?
They didn't do well. You know what? We've had them. We're in a rut right now, but like...
A rut? You're the worst team in the NBA.
No, David, thanks for the call. I will say, I know this about Nets fans. However little they are, none of them celebrated second-round exits the way Knicks fans celebrated.
And you could have a strong opinion on a team no matter what. We don't like say, oh, well, we're not going to have a strong opinion on somebody just because they're wherever. So I don't want to hear that. I can knock Net fans in the Nets all I want.
All right, you okay?
I'm totally
very wound up.
No.
Yeah, I'm sensitive about the Nets.
Being sensitive. But again, Sean, much like Evan, they sit from their ivory tower and they take little shots at everybody else. I will fight back. Yeah, you're taking shots at the Knicks. You're taking shots at the Mets.
There is no Net ivory tower.
Of course.
Right.
And it's like a treehouse.
By the way, I mean, is saying Aaron Judge the better athlete in New York right now than Jalen Brunson a shot at the Knicks?
Well, let's be fair. And we love SMY. You got to find a way to get Aaron Rodgers on that list. You got to rank him. Did they kind of take the easy way out by not putting him in there saying he didn't play?
You want to know the truth? He's not one of the top 10 players in New York right now because he barely played. So rather than annoy the Jet fan base by flat out not including him, just put in the caveat, this is why he's not included?
Yes. Tell us why he's not there. He would be there, but he's not there, and this is why.
But he's playing right now?
We make the own rules.
Is he?
He's playing. I don't know. Is he on a camel?
We haven't seen him play literally.
The season's going to start any second.
And he's not likely to play until September 8th.
Right. Right now. Maybe they do this list in October. We'll wake up Joe DeMeo.
Four more years.
All right. You have anything here, T?
No.
Okay.
It's all you.
Cinco de Five-O coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.